This is WGBH's Morning Edition. Well, school is out. Time for some long days on the beach or by the pool. With a good book, of course. WGBH News Science Editor Heather Goldstone is here with a few suggestions. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Well, give us your top picks.
All right. My very top pick, if you have to read one thing this summer, is Accidental Universe by Alan Lightman. It's physics, it's metaphysics, it gets into religion and science, and it sounds like it would be really heavy stuff, not beach reading at all, but he does it with a really light touch. It's very personal. It's his own exploration of how science and religion and philosophy all fit together. And it's a short book. It's 7 essays compiled, and it just makes for a really wonderful read. Another one that I highly recommend is Your Inner Fish, A Journey into the 3.5 Billion Year History of the Human Body by Neil Shubin. This is actually a 2009 release, but earlier this year, PBS made it into a 3-part TV series. This is one of those rare cases where I actually watched before I read. And I have to say, it's actually been a really pleasant experience because Neil Shubin is a fabulous storyteller on TV. And I now, as I'm reading the book, I hear his voice telling these stories. Again, a very personal storyteller. He's explaining key points in human evolution using very specific parts of the body. He starts with the hand. He goes through teeth, different senses. It's stories that I had never heard about human evolution before, told in a really enjoyable way. If you're into biographies rather than perhaps exploring a certain genre in science, Louis Agassiz, Creator of American Science by Christoph Irmscher. Louis Agassiz was just a fascinating character in the early development, not necessarily of scientific research, but of kind of science and education institutions in the United States in the late 1800s. This is a different perspective on his life. He was also has become a very controversial figure because he held very strong racist views and in some cases tried to use science to justify those. And that has led in some cases to his name being removed from things like schools or streets or various institutions that were named after him, as that has become obviously out of vogue. And so this is a really interesting perspective on his life that gets into the issue of whether or not that should count toward his legacy or how much his personal views should count toward his scientific legacy.
Did Agassiz have something to do with the beginning of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution?
He actually had something to do with the beginning of the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole. He actually founded the Penikese Island School, which is on one of the islands just south of Woods Hole, and was a school originally for science teachers, kind of a summer school for science teachers, very heavily focused on getting women involved in science teaching and science. And he's famous for saying, study nature, not books, which, of course, is another one of those things that can be controversial because why discourage people from looking at the history of science?
My son would agree with that.
Right. But yeah, and that's actually on the wall of the library
at
the Marine Biological Lab.
So a controversial figure, but really worth reading about.
Absolutely.
Well, what about something on the lighter side? This is summer reading, after all.
Absolutely. And I have to admit, I don't get a lot of time to read light, fun fiction at this point. my work reading takes up most of my time. But at the moment, I am currently reading Elizabeth Gilbert's The Signature of All Things. And you may remember Gilbert was the author of Eat, Pray, Love, which was an autobiography that went the real-world equivalent of viral. This is completely different. It is a historical novel. And when I picked it up, I didn't even realize I was picking up something in the science world. But it happens to be the story of a girl who grows up in the early 1800s, essentially, to become a botanist. And actually, the first part of the book is the backstory, is the story of her father, who sailed with Captain Cook as one of his naturalists, one of his botanists. Her mother, who is this very determined Dutch woman, who is herself very learned. And so it's a great story that happens to touch on the Enlightened Age.
Now, you did mention some more extensive reading lists.
Yeah, absolutely. I am not the source of all things in reading. One place that I turn to for suggestions is LabLit.com. This is a site that is maintained by Dr. Jenny Rohn. She's a cell biologist by day and a novelist as well, and she maintains this site. She's passionate about fiction that portrays scientists. So, in fact, Gilbert's novel, The Signature of All Things, is a key example of this, where it's a novel, but some of the key characters are scientists. So she maintains a running list and actually just the other day posted an edition of something like 24 new books in this genre. So that's a great place to turn. io9.com, which is another great kind of physics and science blog, has a list of over a dozen new releases in science fiction and fantasy coming out just this summer. So if that's your thing, a great place to turn. And then, of course, Science Friday has recently done their summer reading list, which covers the whole realm from fiction to novels and everything in between.
Well, there we go. Some excellent suggestions for summer reading from WGBH News Science Editor Heather Goldstone. Thanks, Heather.
My pleasure.
Our weekly conversations with Heather are part of the Living Lab Radio Project, and major support for Living Lab is provided by the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment. Additional support is provided by Michael and Roxanne Zack.